Dead Room Comedy. Dead Room. Dead Room Comedy. Comedy.
Yellow lemon, lemon pepper. Lemon, lemon, lemon pepper.
I've been saying that thing where if you put cum into a humidifier and you turn it on, it fills your room with the ghosts of your potential children.
That's pretty good.
It slaps for some reason. It's...
Have you learned anything from your potential children?
Yeah, whenever I'm fucking doing a Netflix series or something, I just like, it's like I'm trying to like play video games or whatever, and I hear like, you could have saved us. It's terrifying.
You could have
saved us?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have had us.
It's interesting that none of the ghosts have that energy that we have, which is like, boy, I didn't choose this life.
Right, exactly.
So none of them are saying like, thank God.
People are like, oh, you know, you're robbing the life of somebody. Good.
Right.
Look at the world.
Look at the world that we bring.
Oh, really? I'm robbing somebody of a very prosperous career as an Uber Eats driver? Really?
Little babies. That's no fun.
Yeah. What if those babies got like sexually assaulted?
Right.
I mean, but now they're in heaven.
Touched by Papa. Not good. All of a sudden, trauma for life.
Right. Exactly. They wish they would have been aborted immediately.
Mm-hmm. Said they gotta grow and learn and realize the benefit of personal salvation.
Ugh.
And therefore, you know, rush to give it to others, you know?
You know what's better than going through life slinging the arrows of misfortune and becoming an Uber Eats driver? Getting aborted. That's better.
That is better.
Because you're in heaven.
Yeah. That's where all the aborted babies go.
It's like, how can you be mad at that?
But that's all hard to fit on a billboard.
Right, exactly.
Right. It's easier just to say pro-life.
Yeah, exactly. I saw a billboard that said, babies are heaven sent. And I'm like, well, send them back to heaven.
Right.
You know, like, wrong address.
Return to sender.
Yeah, exactly.
Please. I had a nice dinner with my college friend and his, she's my friend now, and they're getting married in August. And so we were at the wedding venue just trying dishes. Mm. And I was there as their vegetarian friend, making sure all the options were good. And
nice.
It was very good.
Was that today?
It was. Yeah, I was at 5.
Oh, nice.
Up in Genesee Park. It was like kind of like 25 minutes up into the mountains, like probably 35 minutes from here. And they were talking about how it's a no kid wedding, and which I fuck with for sure. It says it on the website. Yeah, don't bring your kids. But then they're like, oh, well, this one couple we want to have, they have like a young kid, and it sounds like she might bring a kid. And Haley's like, why? And I'm like, well, you can't separate the infant from the nipple for long. Mm-hmm. And the wedding coordinator made a pretty gross face when I said that.
Oh, really?
I thought we were really hitting it off. But when I said the nipple,
he was like, that's inappropriate.
It was a she, but it's very brave of you for thinking a wedding planner is a woman.
It was a she.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then she followed it up with the saying, I have kids.
Who cares?
Right.
I mean, so what? They sucked on your titty, bitch. That's what you should have said to her.
Yeah.
You should have dug into your position.
She thinks I was just, you know, minimizing the role of women in the lives of children as just the nipple, when really I was going for the laugh.
Right, you were going for the laugh. Also, like, the nipple is like the most voluptuous, important part of the woman. Never mind, I don't just cut that.
No, go for that. Follow that thought.
Well, it's the most voluptuous. I mean, it's the lifeblood. I mean, if it wasn't for nipples, none of us would be here. Right?
Well, no, I think there's other ways to feed children these days.
But think of what, I mean, in the early 1800s or 1700s, before there's baby formula or whatever, mm-hmm. the nipple was the lifeblood of newborn babies.
Well, there was baby formula, but they just thought it was witch's brew, and then they burned them at the stake.
Right, exactly.
I have a friend who, she asked me what my biggest fear was, and I said, obviously, you know, being in an open ocean floating, because that's not my area.
Right.
And she's like, well, a lot of life happens. And I'm like, not my fucking life. Okay, just like talking about like sea creatures. I'm like, yeah, I don't belong there. That's why it's my fear.
That was her comeback when you said that was your biggest fear, is an open ocean. She said, well, there's life there. That's the whole point
I think she was honoring my fear, but also a lot of life happens there, which is, you know, it's a nice thought.
Yeah, like those fucking fish with like the light bulbs in front of their face that have like those huge ass teeth. Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah, no thank you.
I would abort those motherfuckers if I could.
And she said her biggest fear was she has this, like, because she's very spiritual and stuff like that, and has a lot of like past life trauma ideas of like being burned at the stake and stuff like that.
She thinks that she was a witch in her past life.
I don't know if she's saying that, but I think she's tapped into the feminine, like the divine feminine spirit, you know.
But she thinks that she was like burned at the stake in the previous life.
I don't know if she thinks it or like people of her ilk centuries ago or decades ago, you know, I don't know the exact number when Salem was up, like, up and at him, you know.
Oh, like intergenerational trauma.
Yeah.
Is she white?
Not necessarily intergenerational trauma, but like saying, like, if I existed the way that I do in that time,
oh yeah,
I'd be burned at the stake.
I mean, you would, I would,
for sure.
I mean, we're heathens.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, I think I would be burned at the stake.
Yeah, definitely.
Very heathen. I wouldn't last long in a Protestant cult.
Literally, I think that, like, making out with a guy, if you're a guy, in the early 1700s or whatever, that's a death
sentence. Gotta go. But also, it's interesting that, like, Shakespeare, those are men playing women roles, and I think they were making out on stage. And
yeah, but that was for the bit. For the bit.
That wasn't for the... I'm not a witch. It's a bit, you guys. Exactly.
Yeah, people are like, they have the pitchforks and, like, fucking torches, and he's like, whoa, it's a bit.
Mm-hmm. And, she said she is well steeped in Hindu background and beliefs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And says she feels a lot of the goddess Khaleel in her.
What does the goddess Khaleel do?
I think that's the name, goddess Khaleel. And it's just someone that it's like a divine feminine. It's the spouse of Shiva. Mm-hmm. And it is
the Mortal Kombat character?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Based off of all of Hindu religion is based off of Mortal Kombat. And it's like someone that wants to go out of her way to, you know, not the goddess Cleo is someone that wants to vanquish evil and protect the innocent. Mm. And she related it to like an instance of like, she's got a new friend in her life and she sees him going off with this fuck boy and wants to intervene and wants to protect her friend and shit like that. Whereas, and it's kind of like that same, just in a very like three friends mm-hmm. dynamic. It's like this example of Hindu, like this Hindu belief and this Hindu thing of like, it's that same kind of narrative, applied between friends.
She thinks that like her being protective of her friend for going off with a fuckboy is mm-hmm. like channeling kind of like a Hindu.
Her urge to intervene.
Uh-huh.
Even though her friend's not asking her to intervene.
Right.
It's like it's rooted in that goddess Khaleel. I want to vanquish, you know, what I see as evil in this dynamic to protect the innocent, which is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, tracks.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you got to say, that also is just being a good friend.
Josh!
Joshua. What's up? How you
doing? Danger Emerson. How you doing? We just recorded a little 10-minute pod. Just about the goddess Khaleel, you know. Fortune Femster? Femster? You were what about her?
I'll take one.
Could you get me one? Yeah. Is that
what you asked? Hey, Josh, I got two pieces of frozen bread in the freezer if you want.
Hey, Josh, I got a lot of laundry. You can have some if you do it.
Josh, I got a lot of cigarette butts outside if you want. The what? Oh, it's been clean. Ever since I've stopped being a pothead, it's been easy to maintain.
Yeah, listen, we both stopped smoking weed.
And it's been pretty clean up in here. Up in this bitch.
Didn't you boys get in a little bit of a kerfuffle, a little bit of a fight? What happened with that?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
It was all of our fights. I think the past, like, three or four fights have all been around the cleanliness of the apartment.
Yeah. Well,
who's the dirty one out of?
Listen,
who's the dirty one?
I can guarantee both of us would say each of us.
I'm a dirty boy.
I'm a dirty
He's
boy.
He's a dirty boy.
You seem awfully defensive right away. Be like, listen, hey, it's both of us.
Hey, listen. It's
both
of us.
There's good people on both sides.
Yeah, it's the Israel-Palestine debate.
not quite as dire, don't think.
I'm Israel.
Spoiler alert, man.
Spoiler alert. And I'm Mondays. Israel-Palestine or Mondays.
Ugh, how's your guys' Thursday?
It's good.
It was good. I had a dinner with a lunch first before that dinner. I'd lunch with a friend from, I've known her since like sixth grade. Uh-huh. And she's the friend that came to a show last June.
Oh.
And said like, she like saw my stand up and it was the first time really like, you know, you met her.
Yeah. Stuff. She was that. Yeah.
And she's like,
she had that dog, right?
I think she did. Yeah. She did have a dog with her.
Yeah.
And, she's the friend that said, you know, I don't really, I can't remember the exact quote.
Jesus Christ, man.
I was saying on stage, but she was just had the energy of like, what you're doing up there is not something, the way you're living your life is not something I agree with. And I think, remember that friend? Yeah.
That is so mind blowing to me that people still, I mean, it's like clear that people still think that way, but like, I'm in such a bubble that I usually don't experience those people.
Right.
That are like, I'm going to pray for you because your life is sinful.
Right.
You sound a little jealous. Like, I could pray for you.
No,
I pray for you every now and again.
No. I need like
just
a
that
real,
you find. You
I
know,
need like a real Christian.
A real Christian. I'm not a real Christian. Am I a heathen Christian?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you're a cool Christian. I want like a not. I want a not cool Christian as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just to like bounce that energy off of.
I actually do. I have that, my friend Joe Brady, who's like he's a Catholic Republican, and we're really good friends, but you know, we butt heads all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
Makes a good friendship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. You just can't talk about abortion, you know?
Yeah. No, or really like anything regarding really. Women. but like we agree on Israel Palestine. So
that's all that matters, man.
You have that
one issue voter.
You can eat a euro over that.
We could, some hummus and pita.
Go ahead.
Well, I had a professor, she reached out to me to talk to her students about like what you could do like post-college. And this is like right after I got fired from the banking job. Mm-hmm. And so I told her, I was like, hey, I'm not currently working on this. I think I'm going to do this or this. And she was like, I don't need you. If you're fired, that's bad. And so, she sent me, and like, I just remember reading it being like, this fucking sucks, man. Like, people are only with you when you're on top.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas your experience could be a valuable one.
100%. Oh, because it's honest and it's real. And I'm still talented. Like, I still got that banking job.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like.
And that kid needs to know if they're, like, trying to get into banking, like, hey, shit doesn't always work out.
100%, man.
Yeah, and you might find something else that you're in love with, and it's okay to let this shit go.
God forbid I don't like add to the narrative that you want to push onto your students.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
But yeah, you're going to threaten their motivation to get an A in my class.
Yeah. Oh, she was terrible, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, so my friend said that last June, and it was still interesting that she still wanted to, like, she, like, made a point to hit me up, like, hey, I'm back in town.
Yeah.
Do you want to get lunch? I was like, okay. I wasn't anti it. I'm not going to neg that. And, you know, we kind of talked a little bit of, I brought that up and then I talked.
Yo, you brought it up. That's a mildly contentious thing to bring up. I feel like
I'm not going to not bring it up.
It depends on how you bring it up.
How did you bring it up?
Well, I told her in the thing, I'm like, I would be down to get lunch with you because I've found my own way back to faith. In a unique way.
Yeah.
And
a lot of crystals involved, you know, a lot of crystals
right,
and penises.
Right. And so I'd be down to like talk that with you. And so I acknowledged that in the thing. And I said, what I told her was like, I think a lot of people that aren't in faith or whatever are like what Jacob just said, like on like isolated islands of like-mindedness.
Yeah.
And she said, ended up saying the same thing about people in the church. So we had a nice, coming to terms moment of like, we don't agree on shit, but we're still friendships, and we can honor that, and we can, you know, maintain this thing. And it was nice.
Nice. Yeah,
that is beautiful. Yeah.
And when I kind of told her about, like, the definition of God that I come back around to, which is, like, the good order of the election, she's like, okay. And I could just tell by the way that she said it. She's like, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
If we go there, we argue. And then we ordered food, and I'm like, I love spinach. I'm excited that they made the spinach pie here.
Uh-huh.
I love baked goods. I'm like, have you ever had a ginger scone? Because I just had one in Big Sur. And then we just had a nice 40-minute talk about baked
That's
goods.
That's what friendships are built on, is the trivia details, the trivial details of like a spinach pie.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like the crumbliness of like the
it's
thing.
Almost like, it's like the train was heading like this certain direction. You were like, spinach pie,
baked goods. And then she loved making scones. So we just talked scones.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And she gave me all these tips that I'm not going to find in the recipes on how to make a good scone.
Tell you what, man, that's why you got to be. Yeah, some people you're only like 40% friends with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you still want to honor the 40% though, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure. And she lives up in Alaska, so I'm never gonna like see her that often, but you know, it is what it is.
A great place to fish, Alaska.
Yeah, she was talking about how like she went fishing like last summer and had caught 2 halibut and has still been eating them since then.
I bet, dude.
2 halibut?
Yeah, they're 40 pounds.
They're that big?
Oh, Dave.
I mean, she doesn't eat it like every night or every but like, yeah, she's still eating off those halibut.
But that salmon, like they have that ocean salmon out there too.
They go netting?
Yeah, cool.
Or I can't remember what the exact term is, but they like just go offshore and like catch salmon because they're like pretty close to shore.
Yeah,
and they're like, I don't know if they're king salmon or Chinook salmon or whatever, but like
delicious
with like massive nets that they pull in.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So we talked fishing in Alaska.
The Japanese do that with dolphins.
Dolphin Bay.
They do that.
Delicious.
Yeah, I've seen.
I've never had dolphin. Have you had dolphin?
No, I think that there were like some tuna companies that had parts of dolphin in their tuna.
I was gonna say if you've had a tuna salad sandwich, you probably had dolphin.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to feel about that.
Also,
because it says dolphin safe in the can. A myth.
Yeah, that actually is a myth because of that documentary that we watched. Yep. What was it called?
It was that smart one on Netflix. Something like, I don't remember.
That's actually where I got that dolphin joke.
Right. And that's where I got my vegetarianism. So that's funny that we both took different routes with that information.
Yeah, you know, I literally ate sushi probably within 2 weeks after watching
it. I know,
it,
and I remember
I did not feel bad at all.
Right.
I'm just like...
Well, tonight at like Palette City, Georgia goes up, who's vegan, and then Nick, her husband, goes up, and Nick tells a whole story about going to hanging out with his friend at the Tyson... pig factory.
And
how we're like, oh, you're just God here because he's like killing pigs and like they've never. He's like, when I tell you there's 1,000 pigs in this building, they've never seen the outside of this building. Like that is what he said.
That is one of my favorite Nick Dean stories.
Yeah, and he's like, I still eat them.
Yeah,
and he's like, but now I just know what they do to them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not great.
No.
Because a part of that story is like where his friend like bashes a pig. Like
oh,
a
yeah.
pig or something.
He's like, see, that mom has 9 nipples.
Yeah.
And see these 10 pigs that she has? Got to kill the runt. And just picks it up and slams it on the concrete in front of him. And I love Nick's tag. This is like Nick's storytelling. Because he's like, in that moment, I was like, oh, I'm never going to be friends with Jason again. Can I leave tonight? Is there a way to go tonight? Yeah. Like instead of just continuing on with what happened tonight, he gives that little insight of like the emotional landscape.
Yeah, the internal monologue.
It's great. How was your Thursday? Oh, I mean, was it that thing with the teacher happened today?
No, that happened like a year ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then how was your Thursday?
It was all right. A snow day at the zoo. Popped an edible and went out. And it's like a wet snow. I don't know if you guys were like down at it at all, but it was wet. So we weren't really shoveling there.
Elliot's here.
Elliot Weber.
Turn and burn, my dudes.
Should we cap that and call it the God of Pigva? And then that'll be a nice little 20-minute episode. Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you for listening to Dessert. Stay tuned.